deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to Flashpoint episode 70, recorded Sunday, December 15th. I'm your co-host David Holloway, and with me are two co-hosts that one Mr. Claus has recognised officially as co-Santas. Simon, how are you going?
I'm not sure. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Christy, how are you? I'm throwing to Christy already.
I was going to say, I'd put you more on the Grinch end of the spectrum than the Santa one, but I could be wrong on that.
I love Kwanzaa. What are you talking about?
Christy, how are you going?
I am currently melting at the moment.
Oh, of course.
If there's any background noise, it's because I have like 50 billion fans going.
Yeah, being a cricket tragic, I've noted the 38, 39. It's 39 tomorrow, I think, in Perth.
Yeah, I can see the whacker from my balcony, and I'm thinking, oh, those poor souls.
Yes.
But go Aussies.
Absolutely. So firstly, apologies for our week delay. It's totally of my doing. I just had some stuff on last weekend and couldn't get round to it, and I had two very keen co-hosts that were, so it's all my fault. Actually, I think that's a lie, Simon, isn't it?
Yes.
But it's all right. I'll take
it's a complete falsehood.
I'll take one for the team.
I was going to be in front of a live audience. I actually had a guest over that weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That would have been funny, actually, because I'm back in the old days. Ed's roommate used to shout stuff from the background. Remember that, Simon, or was that before your time?
No. I remember that.
Yeah.
They even got together and did a little segment that bookended the show.
Yes.
And my guest actually does play Star Wars, so he might have actually had something good to add.
Yeah, see, that would have been good.
I think a lot more people are suddenly playing Star Wars, and I'm not sure why.
Oh, what a segue, as always. You can always well, depend on you, Simon.
No, actually, I'm going to completely ruin it, because I think, obviously, while we were on hiatus, so to speak, we lost someone who's, I think, played an important role in a lot of people's lives and who's going to be badly missed. And I just think we should just acknowledge that and say, Ghost Crawler, we love you.
Now, I must admit, that was a bit of a shock when I read that. I was like, okay.
All right, so can we say that, because you've shocked me. I was unaware of it. So I'm assuming you're talking about WoW's Ghost Crawler.
Yes, about what now? Leaving Blizzard.
Yes.
Okay, we'll save that for... That's okay, I didn't realise that. As usual, I'm on top of my brief. So we'll do some SWOTOR and then come back to that, because, yeah, that indeed is massive bloody news. And some other guy died in the last 3 weeks too.
Yeah, for one horrible moment, I thought Morgan Freeman had died.
Apparently so did a lot of idiots on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the generation that... don't know shit.
That's right. So speaking of don't know shit, let's go straight on to Republic News.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
I think there's really only one topic we can obsess about in regards to Star Wars The Old Republic this time, and that would be obviously the launch of Galactic Starfighter, which I'm sure all three of us have played. In fact, I know all three of us have. If anything, I'm guessing I've played the least. I've probably only actually played 6 or 8. Oh, you wouldn't call them matches. What would you call them? Campaigns? Groups. Well, there's groups and individual. Anyway,
I don't know. I have battles.
No,
I don't,
battles. I just call them battles. Let's go with battles. And so I'm going to get your thoughts first. Christy, I'll start with. How have you liked it so far?
I have enjoyed it, yes. I thought it would be a little bit more faster, you know, so because, I don't know, the videos and stuff looked like it was really like vroom, vroom, vroom yeah. stuff going on here, you know, but it just sounded like a Mazda ad. But, yeah, I found it to be a bit slow. However, I am highly, highly enjoying it. I've settled down into a Scout now, and I did get the one from the cartel market because I had all those coins left over from when we had that 50% sale last month. And, oh, yes, I am enjoying it. So I suck at it, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, well, I'm in that boat, but I'll talk about that in a minute. Simon?
I think my last fight, I got something like 5 kills and 3 assists or something. I'm like, oh, come on.
Well, that's probably twice what I get, but anyway. Simon?
Well, I've been, I've played quite a few games now, or battles, and I have to admit, I've been doing it on one of my Lobby Troopers. You guys still there?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right, sorry. I thought Skype had bugged it up again.
Got excited then.
Oh, right. On my Lobby Troopers, because I've been hearing a lot of noise on, because I seem to be playing mostly on the Harbinger at the moment, and it's not a lot of people in the Imperial fleet. Most of the players actually seem to be on the Republic side. So I've just been tagging in there, and I kind of like the look of the ships better. The Imperial ship designs, and I've thought this at the time, are either slightly ugly or just look like try-hard TIE fighter riffs, if you know what I mean. And there's not really any reason for that, but I also suck. I am not good. I am not good with targeting people. I do, every now and then, I sort of get into the zone and I manage to get on people's tail. But I've decided that rather than killing, my best strategy seems to be just being a pain. So I'm doing
who
that.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know. Just who'd have thunk it? But my little strategy, and I have to admit, it's one that I've sort of developed during the beta testing, is to try and get, since I can't really hit people very effectively, what I tend to do is try and ninja in and hold, take a defensive action on one of the satellites that's already been held or neutral, or there's only one other guy blitzing around, and then I'll just kind of go in and then just orbit the station.
Yeah.
And hold it that way. And surprisingly, that actually seems to yield real results because you – I don't know. My suspicion is you don't actually get as much in the way of benefit as in the wrecks you get at the end of each match. I think you get more for holding and for doing the strategic tactical stuff rather than just going out and trying to shoot the tail fins off everyone.
Well, you because do. I mean, that's like normal PvP where the more you defend, you do pretty well in that respect.
Well, this is as close to PvP as I've ever really gotten. So I suppose this is my gateway drug to PvP, maybe.
Yeah.
But, and I have to admit, I have really been quite impressed with just how much prettier it looks from the beta test, because I don't know about you guys, but I thought it looked pretty damn good then, but they've added so much polish to it since it's come off the PTS.
Okay.
I just think it's adding a few new I'm going to call them arenas because I don't know what else to call them, playing battle zones. I'm sorry, I'm not up with the term.
The official
I've been
term
too busy trying. I've been too busy shooting things.
The official term is space paddocks.
Space paddocks. And as far as slow goes, I'm not sure. I think it probably does feel a bit slow if you're out in the wilderness, out in the wilds between the stations and or the satellites, and trying to shoot each other's tail fins off. But when you're actually in amongst all of the structures or the fins or whatever it is, when you're up close to the big crap, especially some of the ones that have got the satellites that are stuck in the middle of larger structures, It seems pretty damn fast because you come up on that crap really quick, and you can end up suiciding pretty easily, unintentionally suiciding.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think it's, Christy and I agree with you, it seems slow from if you're out and about because of the huge distances between the starting point and the satellites or whatever. And, you know, you're constantly riding your boost or whatever to try and get there as quick as you can.
Yeah. But if you play like I do, then you're constantly up in the middle of all of these gargantuan things. And let me tell you, the distance is closed really quickly and it feels a lot more fast-paced. So if you are feeling like it's a bit slow, go in and get in close to the satellites or some of the larger structures or the asteroids, and it seems plenty fast enough then.
Well, there's a...
Still think it's a little slow. But then again, I don't know if maybe I'm a little bit different, because I noticed in my guild everyone was kind of like going about how zappy the remover is, especially, you know, when you sort of go into reverse and then you turn to the side and you can end up upside down the other way very, very quickly. But I don't think I've ever really had that problem. I would like it to be faster. I mean, I'm not saying that it's slow. I mean, it's definitely slow when you're trying to get to your points, but I would like it to be faster.
Well, which ship are you playing primarily?
I'm on the Scout at the moment.
Okay. Have you tried swapping your balance around a bit? So just boost your speed and dropping off your weapons or your shields to give you
a
bit of extra.
Yeah, I mean, I do that to get there, but then when I'm up close, I tend to stick with having the higher weapons.
Right.
Okay. And is the Scout the one, again, Shane, my great knowledge, is that the one with the sniper mode? Because that's the one I've been flying mostly.
That's the gunship.
That's the gunship. Yeah.
I don't like the gunship.
No, I don't like them at all.
I know they've each got specific roles, and there's going to be people that love them and people that don't. But, it's not my – gunship's not my favourite. And the sniper thing, I just take too long. So I'm just sort of sitting there going, da, 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 with my sight just slowly beating. We're looking for the perfect headshot. And, yeah, end of story. I have to remember, it's not Call of Duty. I am not at the top of a church bell tower.
I'm out there
in the middle of freaking space.
Speaking of Call of Duty, we'll definitely have a brief mention of Secret World later because graphically they're equivalent. But you're right. I think if you're a Call of Duty person, you're not going to get the level of speed and that Chris is alluding to either out of Star Wars The Old Republic, but I can't imagine many people would expect that. Like, I thought for an MMO with the potential for lag that there wasn't a lot of lag, and you're right, graphically I liked it. I thought it had, it looked epic. But I've got to admit, after half a dozen matches, I've realised that it still won't be a central part of the gameplay in SWTOR for me.
Yeah, I must admit, like, I will get on and I will play, like, match after match after match, but it doesn't have that enthralling thing with me either. It's enjoyable, but, yeah, I'm not going to be leveling characters that way.
No. I'll probably treat it a lot like PvP in that if I'm going too far ahead on my storyline quest where I'm, I'm trying to kill stuff that's too many levels above me, I might do a bit of a series of PvP or Starfighter stuff just to clock up some XP.
Yeah, well, certainly a good way of doing that, but I've always enjoyed... I like the space combat, the old space combat as well. I just like flying through space, zapping things. So I think I'll be giving it a... I think it will have me for a while, especially since I'm pretty confident that it's going to be... they're going to be adding things fairly regularly to it. I think it's going to become a core... It's not central to the game. It's not even woven into the game as well as the old space combat is, and that was always peripheral at best. But, I just hope people keep their enthusiasm up and they keep providing new content regularly enough that it does help maintain enthusiasm. But I think a lot of people have come back to the game for this.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, right. I hope that they continue to. And I think, over the Christmas the holiday period, I think a lot of people get a lot of fun out of it.
Yeah, especially with the 20th fast beaming up on us. And of course, that's the second anniversary.
Of course.
It's been almost 2 years already.
So much has changed.
Hasn't it, though? You think about how much has been added to the game over those 2 years.
I was making it real life, actually, but okay.
Oh, okay. But what real life?
Yeah, exactly. What's that? And we should do, and if we'd had, I'd had any planning sense whatsoever, we would have planned on doing a look back over the 2 years on this episode, but our first 2014 episode, we should definitely have a look back on the first 2 years. Bouquets and brickbats, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it's thumbs up from everyone for Galactic Starfighter to a varying degree as far as long-term playability. But I think all of us will be dipping in and out of it, which is all you can ask for, really.
Mm, definitely.
Anything else we want to cover around Star Wars? I mean, I've just been leveling, as I said, my trooper as well and having a ball there. But I haven't done a lot else, really.
I just started playing an imp. Oh, that's terrible. Right. I still haven't even got a max level character yet, and I've just started playing another one. Well, I think I should just be like kicked off the game. Just like, no, sorry, Chris, you're not allowed to play this one anymore.
Well, as per Jason from Mutini Cast, you know, he's very pro lightning.
I must admit, I do like the lightning. It's quite fun. Especially when you like zap him with the stunny thing and then like the lightning coming off. It's like, this is so cool. I would do my schoolgirl giggle, but that would probably be quite disturbing. So.
Oh, now you've reminded me. I've got to look before the end. Speaking of disturbing, you've had your first take up of an offer to live with someone in America. I've got to remember where. I think it was a comment on the last podcast. So at some stage before the night's out, I will bring that up. It was a very nice comment, but it was just you actually did get your first offer to go and live with someone over there.
Well, it's going to be have to because I'm changing my majors to engineering. So you got to be near a university that has an awesome engineering facility.
All right. See, now you're getting fussy, but that's fine.
I am. But I want to build robots. Come on, people. Let me build robots.
Go and work for Google.
Google make robots?
Well, they're about to.
Or don't Google too.
The guy that, you know, that obviously you know Google bought Android. Yeah.
Yes, I do know that.
The guy behind that has sort of left in inverted commas. I'm doing the inverted comma things with my hands and then realizing that's not good for radio. he's left and is, but it's still part of the Googleplex, whatever the hell you call the sprawling empire that it's become, to work on actually building real androids, robots. And several steps above and beyond, hopefully, those ridiculous vegetable choppers that Amazon were babbling on about over Cyber Monday, which was just stupid. So stupid.
I seriously still want a decent robot vacuum cleaner. I'm not convinced they've, you know, evolved them well enough. The rest I don't care about.
Well, no, I don't have. you could always just do it yourself. It takes about 5 minutes.
Yeah, and it's meant to be good for you, the exercise thing. I've heard that. I've just found that comment, so I might as well, you know, we've thrown everything else up in the air. It was a lovely comment from Russ Moody, who posted a comment on the last podcast saying, hey, great show, and I'm not just saying that because I feel sorry for you not getting many emails or comments. Oh, I'm choking up with emotion. Anyway, I was glad to hear that Christie's offered to move in with someone extended outside of the US. I did suggest it to my wife, but I'm afraid I might catch kids, KIDS, Christie-induced divorce syndrome, if I push it any further. Keep up the good work. So, Russ, thank you for that. And I'm assuming Russ is obviously not in the US, so Russ may be a local, and I haven't had a chance to look that up. But thank you, Russ.
Yes, thanks, Russ.
Can I induce divorces?
Well, it sounds like you might be
able to. I must have
to.
Powers. Yeah. It's the boobs, isn't it?
Well, I don't know that we've seen them on the podcast, so I'm not sure how he's... Oh, you've talked about them, though, haven't you? So, yeah, he could have induced that. So that's the induced part of the syndrome. Christie-induced divorce.
Didn't they knock about 6 pairs of Astro headsets off the display table at PAX?
They knock down a lot of things, so I can't really keep up. They kind of have a mind of their own. I have to contain them, so, yeah.
Oh dear, so do I with mine. Now, there's a nice image for you. So let's move away from Star Wars, the Old Republic and man boobs, and go on to two key things we thought. Number one being, actually let's swap it around, PS4. I believe one of my esteemed co-hosts may be already an owner of a PlayStation 4.
Oh, that'd be Christy. Oh,
okay.
Oh, no, wait, it's me.
Yeah. So give us the lowdown, the unboxing, initial impressions, what games you've played.
Well, as with any of the new consoles out at the moment, including, sadly, the Wii U, there's not a lot of games out there at this point, but you wouldn't expect there to be. But Killzone looks absolutely ridiculously awesome. It's really something you have to have a look at, but on a big screen, the detail and the effects. I keep getting startled by my own shadow, literally, by my own shadow
in
the game.
Remember, you are intimidating.
I'm just not used to seeing these things being cut. I mean, even in games like SWTOR or PC-based games, getting a good hard shadow from specific light sources within the environment, it just creates such appalling lag sometimes. Before I upgraded the graphics card, I had to turn the shadows off completely because they just dropped the frame rate so much. But it's also crisp and clean, and it's running at 60 frames per second. There's no two ways about it. As far as the setup goes, even though I knew it was quite small and quite light, still impressed and surprised how small and light it was. The little PlayStation camera is about the size of a boost bar. It's tiny compared to what the Kinect is. Obviously, it's less capable.
Just for the sake of our non-Australian, you're talking boost bar as in the chocolate bar, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So the size of a Mars bar, except maybe slightly smaller.
No. A boost bar is a lot narrower. If you put your thumbs end to end, it's about that size. It's about that thick and about that long. You know, it's small. I was quite shocked how small it was. And even though it's not as capable, as soon as it just did the face recognition thing, which is just turning your head left, right, up, down. Every time I turn the thing on and sit down, it recognizes me and logs me in before I've even gotten comfortable, which I thought was quite impressive.
I reckon.
New controller's good. Yeah, no regrets at all. Very, very happy with it, and very happy that I waited for another couple of weeks after launch to get the Killzone bundle box, which had the camera and the extra controller and the game in it. So, yeah, long story short.
So did you pre-ordered it, or
yeah, that was
did
what
you
I was
like just
going
to a store?
I pre-ordered it in February.
Okay.
Wow.
Which was why I was far enough up the list. Actually, I think I was at the top of the list because I think I was the first one to order. obviously, because I sort of wandered down there after the what's his name, the guy behind. I can't even remember the name of that stupid game. Knack. The guy behind Knack and the hardware. You know the first event they did where they just showed you the controller and got a bit of a ripping because they didn't show you what the console looked like?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that. So I was sort of like down there about 1 o'clock and I think that finished at about 10 after I finished tweeting about it. So
yeah, you'd be hard pushed not to be the first.
Yeah. Yeah, they had me pretty early on with that.
Nice. So score out of 10, just to be arbitrary and all that.
For a launch device, I'd give it 9 out of 10.
Okay.
I can't give it 10 out of 10 because
no.
Hardware-wise, no problems at all. It's quiet. There's not blowing hot air out the back. It's actually hard to tell when it's on sometimes, but the UI is obviously still a work in progress. But at least it doesn't expect me to yell at the TV half a dozen times before it does anything. So it's quite nice just having a button to push.
Good.
Oh, and the Twitch streaming's going very well. That's really easy. A bit too easy. As you probably heard, some guy ended up, he and his wife were drinking, and he ended up, after she passed out, undressing her.
Oh, what?
On camera.
Oh, dear.
We didn't see that part, but a friend brought one over, and we saw the early parts of that thinking, okay, because they were just sitting there on the couch, getting slowly paralytic and responding to comments that people were typing. So it was all live back and forth. I thought, yeah, this isn't gonna end well.
Oh, dear.
So there we go. It's not bad. At least they got it out of the way early on.
Yes.
It's the next step to texting people.
Yeah, at least Twitch now is going to ban anyone that's streaming non-gamey stuff.
Yeah.
Because of the ads.
Which they should have thought of this.
Yes.
Yeah,
after Anthony Weiner, they really should have thought of this.
I kind of feel like it's always they always hope that humanity is just – it's got it out of its system. We're all done with tits and dick jokes and we're just going to, you know, be sensible now.
No.
And this is why the Republic's this is why the Republic sucks and why the Sith will always, always win in the end.
Yeah.
Because the Republic hopes that people will be better than they are. It's all very aspirational. The Sith deal with people as they actually are.
True.
Plus they have cookies.
They have cookies, yes.
And lightning.
Lots of purple lightning.
So, well, that's thank you for that review, Simon. It's I know you did all that just in the Call of Duty for this podcast, and I believe you're going out tomorrow and buying an Xbox One, so you can do the comparison.
Yeah, because the Xbox One is extremely easy to come by.
Well, that is true. Because you can pretty much go out and buy one, can't you?
No, you can exactly go out and buy
that's
one.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
So get onto that, will you?
Yeah, I'll put that on my list of things I'm going to get around to doing, maybe never.
It'd be disappointing after PAX where we, you know, got to view the box in the glass display case to not actually... I might have to bite the bullet and get one, maybe. We'll see. Actually, we might get Gail on for a guest appearance because I imagine if she hasn't bought one already, she will be buying one. So,
but in all honesty, unless you're crazy, there's no reason to buy any of the new next-gen consoles, any of the current-gen consoles, I suppose they are now, leave it. Leave it for till June, July, wait till winter.
So the future, which is, you know, as always, a beautiful segue to the next thing we're going to talk about, which was 2014 predictions. So we have a spectacular rate of success with predictions. I think we did 2013 predictions last year, which I couldn't tell you what episode and what we said, but I'm sure they were very accurate. So we thought we'd repeat that this year. So throwing to you again, Christy, were there any predictions you wanted to make? And let's think, keep it mostly to the MMO sphere, but gaming more broadly if you're struggling for anything else, while I madly try and think of something.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot. Just throw me in the deep end, you know. I think we're pretty much going to see a repeat of 2013. There's going to be a few big titles come out, but nothing mind-shattering awesome. And, that's pretty – I think we're going to see a few more games go free-to-play or free-to-play-like models, maybe pay-to-play, something along those lines. And I think we're going to see a few more indies popping up as well, fingers crossed anyway. Because the AAA seem to be all very quiet at the moment and, you know, we would have been hearing about stuff. I don't think I've actually really heard of any AAAs coming out next year. So indie might be your year.
That would be nice. Well, Simon, while you're still thinking of things, I might jump in with a couple. One, the Wii U might finally get some life into the console when, maybe it's not till 2015, they're releasing Mario Kart. I think it might be late next year. If they actually get the bloody new Mario Kart game out, I can see a big resurgence. There is a huge population of gamers out there that just love that game, and I'm one of them.
I'm the second one.
Yeah. Star Wars The Old Republic will... I'm going to make a big call here. Will decline by the second half of next year. It'll still be going. even though it'll be by the end of next year, it'll be sort of 12 months until the first movie, isn't it, comes out. And I know they're not related, but I just, as far as Star Wars hype, I still think there'll be a decline there and they'll be really struggling to come up with new content. And the reason I'm being so negative is because it's a win-win, because if they're not, I get to play a cool game still. But if, God forbid, it happens the other way, I'm right. So it's a bit of win-win. World of Warcraft, I'll do the opposite prediction. Its new expansion will be going live late next year and it'll still be going strong and won't go free to play. So there's my three predictions. Simon?
Well, I'm going to say there's going to be resurgence in the subscription model for games. Obviously, games that are currently using a hybrid model will stick with that. But yeah, I agree. World of Warcraft, I think, is just going to continue being the 800-pound gorilla.
Yep.
It ain't going anywhere soon. It's just going to continue. As you say, the expansion's obviously going to... It's gotten into such a well-established cycle now. I think with the players and the player base, you know how many people are going to come in for the new content, burn through it, get out, how many people are going to stick around, how the gear rotates now and how you've got to get rid of your comms to get stuff and tiers suddenly being devalued, blah, blah, blah. We all know that drill now.
Yeah.
So there's no surprises there. I think WildStar is going to carve out some new territory from what I've been seeing. I think the NDA lifted recently, so from what it looks like is they are actually going to try a few things different. The classes aren't quite what we've come to expect as far as their functioning goes. The animations look really, really pretty damn sweet. I don't think no one's called it the WoW killer, but I think most people expect it's going to be big. I don't think it's going to be as big initially as people think it's going to be, but I think it will end up having a bit of it'll have a gradual rise. It'll build its subscriber base. As far as SWTOR goes, it's kind of difficult to say. I mean, you're going, where do they go next?
Exactly.
I think they will continue to develop space. What specifically? I'd love to say guild ships. I think that's what I said last year as well. I'm still going to keep my fingers crossed for guild ships, or at the very least, a guild hub of some description.
Well, it's been on the drawing boards for a long while. So,
oh yeah, I mean it's on the wheel of crazy. I would also like to, and this, I think I'm going to be quite resoundingly proven wrong on this one. I'm going to call a community cantina somewhere in Australia next year.
BioWare, Will.
And that's utterly baseless.
Oh, but that's a good hack.
Maybe an appearance, even though it wasn't BioWare Austin that showed up at the last PAX. But fuck it, why not? If we call it, maybe they will come. I don't know. We'll do a Field of Dreams.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, it'll be just my luck because it looks like I won't be going to PAX next year, so you guys will get to experience that, and I'll just be, you know, kicking myself the whole time.
I thought you got the Friday pass.
No, I didn't get around to buying it, and I think that I don't think they've all gone. I know the 3-day passes have.
Mm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the others are still there.
Yeah, so I'll play it by ear. We'll just see what's going on, but yeah, that'd be great if they came out. And what about some of the other MMOs? So Secret World.
I think the Secret World will just keep trucking, basically.
It does.
Well, I don't think, although Funcom's not looking at doing any more big projects like Age of Conan or Secret World, I think what they've got is trucking along. I think it's fairly stable, from what I can tell, as far as the subscriber base and the amount of income they're getting from the cash shop and so on. But by crikey, that game is pretty demanding on the hardware.
Yeah.
The reason it looks so pretty.
Yeah, it's. I've managed to get. I know I whinged last time about running it on Parallels, but I've actually got it running relatively well now, which I'm pleased. And a Parallels update seemed to help. But yeah, I just really struggle. I don't play it enough to be able to progress smoothly. So I'm in the Blue Mountains, and I've run into the same issue now. Every single quest area, the hit points of the trash alone are too much for what I'm geared up for.
Again.
So it's like again, so now I have to go back to Savage Coast and do some more stuff, even though I felt like I'd exhausted nearly all of that. So that's a bit frustrating, but beyond that, can't complain.
Well, maybe we'll have to team up.
Yeah, well, that's, and I know that's the big brick wall I constantly run into it, so I need to be more social.
I know, but people suck, so yeah, what can you do? Yeah.
Exactly.
Apart from our listeners, of course, who are obviously exemplary people.
Although one of our most regular listeners.
And their daughters. Our listeners and their daughters.
One of my lunchtime buddies and former guild masters and regular listeners, one of his favourite claims to fame is he hates everybody, and so he would agree wholeheartedly. And the other thing I was going to talk about MMOs as far as next year is that steaming pile of shit that is Marvel Heroes. And actually, that's too harsh. It's not a steaming pile of shit. But I think it will start to steam next year unless they get some big... I don't actually know what their subscriber numbers, but you just don't see any momentum or hype around it at all.
I got three emails from them saying there was $15 off,
yes.
Off G's.
Or G's, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, right, yeah, that's another thing I'm putting on the list of things I'm never going to get around to.
I mean, since the last one, I spent yonks downloading the full update. It was 11 gigabytes because I'd let it go so badly. It needed the launch and it updating, and then the full download again. Got to within 192 megabytes of that 11 gigabytes. And because I'm on a virtual machine, had filled up the machine and it refused to download the rest.
Oh, no.
And so in disgust, I just deleted it. But I think on my laptop in boot camp, I've still got it sitting there, so I just need to update that. But I was like, nah, that's the sign. I'm just deleting the bastard. So there you go.
Well, I mean, on the positive side, the big updates show that they're constantly making improvements.
I don't get these emails from them anymore. Do they just not like me or something?
Oh, who knows? Oh, well, probably because Simon and I excreted, you know, ridiculous amounts of money on the bloody thing. They at least send us emails.
Oh, look, at least it kept some devs in taco shells or something.
Something like that. So any other predictions before we move on to some broader stuff? Nope. Oh, we're going to talk about Ghostcrawler. No. I predict Ghostcrawler will leave Blizzard in late 2013. So give us the background story. Christy, do you want to talk first about that? Why is he leaving? Do we know? Oh, she's gone.
Hello?
Yes. From what I hear, it's more that he's just he's gotten offers for Better Horizons. That was the last of the rumours I heard. So, yeah, it sounds like he got a better offer somewhere else.
Okay, and I mean, you know, for those non-WoW listeners that have never played WoW at all and don't, Ghostcrawler, it's a Greg, what's his last name?
Street,
yeah, it is Greg Street, has been with them, what, a lot of years?
It's about 6 years, I think.
Yeah, and has been really the lead for that as far as... communicating with the community, but also as far as the design of the game, is my understanding, yeah?
Yeah, he was a lead system designer.
Yeah,
he's pretty much had his finger in all the pies there. I've got the official note he left, if you'd like to hear it. All right, think of this in Ghostcrawler's voice, not my own. You know that part at the end of the raid night when the final boss is dead and you've done handing out loot and everyone kind of goes their separate way? Yeah, this is one of those times. We just came off a great BlizzCon. We had so many different games to talk about, and we were thrilled with the reception of Warlords. It was great to meet or reconnect with so many of you. I love BlizzCon dearly, which makes it so hard to tell you that this will be my last one, or at least my last one up on stage. An opportunity has come my way and has made a very tough decision to move on from Blizzard. And then he just goes on to thank people. So, so yeah, no mention at the moment. I haven't heard any mention of where he's going, but obviously he's probably been throwing a truck ton of money to do something pretty awesome.
Probably Gazillion Entertainment, be my guess.
No, she said awesome. well, maybe. What about maybe BioWare?
Oh, now, just after I made a prediction, they're going to go backwards. That would be amazing if that was the case.
All I can think of is because to get him to leave Blizzard, like I don't think it would have been a financial decision, although I'm sure they'd offer him more than what Blizzard was giving him. But I would say it's definitely probably more a career-building massive opportunity that he's been offered to make him leave Blizzard.
Maybe just a change, although he's so deeply
embedded
in the culture of WoW. It's kind of hard to...
You think of Ghostcrawler.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's I don't know what to say really. It just leaves you gobsmacked.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of the equivalent in Star Wars: The Old Republic speak of all those people that actually did leaving.
Yeah. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, I'm just thinking. No, there is no comparison because I mean, a lot of the key people that were behind the launch of Star Wars: The Old Republic and the ongoing design had pretty much left.
Yeah.
So I've just been an idiot, but yeah, I'm sure Blizzard realise what they've lost, but I think they'll feel it even more acutely over coming months.
Yeah, mind you, let's face it. He, for as many people who, like him and what he did, there's just as many people that are glad to see the back of him.
Yeah, true.
Yes. But then again, when in the gaming community don't people hate other people? Oh, and apparently he plays a holy priest. I thought he was a pally, but
I'm a holy, but I've got it anyway. I love my holy priest when I play him. That's big news. Otherwise, moving outside the gaming sphere, any TV or movie recommendations for the Christmas holidays? Simon?
If you haven't been watching The Blacklist, I'd suggest you go and have a little look. I'm hoping that Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to do something similar in that I feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not quite picking up steam yet. Maybe it's going to do what Arrow did and really sort of start going nuts a bit later into the first season and then really hit its stride in the second. But The Blacklist is really starting to pique my interest now because they had, you know, how you set up a premise and it seems to be ticking along and you're thinking, okay, is this going to be is this sort of like a police procedural with a twist, or what, is it going to be the same format every bloody week? But no, they've just, the last couple of episodes, they've shaken things up pretty aggressively, I think it's fair to say. So it's worth having a look at.
Excellent. Blacklist is one, because I'm not going to get to explain how I haven't even heard of The Blacklist, so I'll be going to check that out. Christy?
I'm not doing Christmas this year. I'm working the whole time. I mean, besides public holidays, but my families are all out of town. So I'm pretty much just going to be probably watching Robbie the Reindeer and eating ice cream in my underwear.
Nice.
So, and I mean, Robbie the Reindeer I reckon if you're going to watch any Christmas-themed TV shows, watch Robbie the Reindeer.
I've not heard of Robbie the Reindeer, but I might tag team that with my Wookiee Christmas special with Lumpy.
Well, if you like British humour, because it's animated, it's very British humour. So, yeah, it's great. I think there's three of them now. It actually apparently started as a school event thing. Like, they made this Robbie the Reindeer as part of a school thing, and then it's kind of just taken off. So, yeah, Robbie the Reindeer. That's my recommendation.
Nice. I don't have a lot beyond, for those of you that are still catching up on The Walking Dead, make sure you do so. End of series 4 is incredible, the finale. I'd put it up there. It's not an equivalent of the Red Wedding in Game of Thrones, but there are a lot of shocks in that last episode. So catch up and get into that over the Christmas period to uplift you or otherwise. And going back a little bit, I finally got around to watching, at least one of the extended editions of the Lord of the Rings movies. I'd never seen the extended edition, so I watched Return of the King over this past week, and I hadn't realised. I knew there was a lot of extra content, but it's weaved in beautifully, and I wish they'd released them like that originally.
Yeah. No, that's the last one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the extended edition. Isn't that the one that comes with the additional 15 endings?
I just downloaded it from a not-so-reputable service, so it was 4.5 hours for the movie. But, yeah, I can imagine the DVD has lots of different bits in it.
Thank you, Christy, for understanding the joke.
Oh, no. Why would you expect me to understand it? What?
Oh, my laptop's just been hacked.
Oh, yeah, that's by me. So that'll teach you to slag me?
No. No, right. Hang on.
If you need to drop off, that's fine, and I'll do the wrap.
No, there's a message.
Have you been crypto-locked? Because that would be just a
message. No, it says, has Master David forgotten something?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, my God, I have two. Oh, geez. It'd be handy if
wait,
I could
look at
the
running sheet.
Wait,
is he listening to this live?
So, my apologies. God, what a way to finish the year. So we sort of have this segment that is one of the most popular things we do on the show called My Lore is Stuck in Your Canon, which I totally neglected. How did I miss that?
Probably because someone didn't put it on the running sheet.
No, it's there.
On
the running sheet.
Yeah, oh, there. Is it? Oh, okay.
We haven't been following it.
No,
not really, no.
Oh, because we haven't covered my God. Yeah, what else? Shroud of the Avatar. We haven't done a whole bunch. Here I'm again. Oh, you're about to wrap up. All right. So My Lore is Stuck in Your Canon is a must listen every second or so episode. So let's jump to that now. ODS1.
Thank you, Master David. And thanks to you too, gentle listener, for braving the Gundark nest that is the rest of this podcast. Today we recently obtained technology to gaze into the near and distant future to see how the Sith Empire and Galactic Republic conflict finally resolves itself. Now, MYM8, press the button. Oh no! What have you done to it? I don't think there's a way of regenerating this mess. One gentle owner indeed. Thank you very much, Craigslist. Never mind, we have a backup plan. It's called a book. Now, as you may recall from the last episode, we concluded at the present day with the end of the 28 years of war and the uneasy truce between the Republic and the Empire founded on the Treaty of Coruscant signed in 3653 BBY, which the Galactic Republic had no choice but to sign. You may recall the treaty effectively divided the galaxy in two. However, due to the unfavourable terms, many star systems began to withdraw support and rescind membership. In fact, the Republic itself was forced to withdraw support from many long-time allies, including the Boffins. What was left of the Republic struggled with supply crises after supply crises. The still-ruined streets of Coruscant were filled with unrest, and the authorities, including the Senate itself, were paralyzed and insolvent. Desperate for someone else to blame, their fat fingers pointed squarely at the Jedi. And instead of solving anything, it began a feud with the Order that saw them leave Coruscant and their ruined temple behind them. Broken, they returned to their ancient home of Tython, where they attempted to rebuild and regroup. Despite the treaty, A Cold War was still being fought through proxies and border disputes. One example of this is the Civil War on Ord Mantell, fought between a corrupt government loyal to the Republic and a separatist movement who wanted their world to secede from the Republic, as so many had already. And unsurprisingly, the Empire backed them. While hostilities persisted, all-out war between these ancient protagonists did not occur for some time, allowing the Empire to rebuild itself very slowly, and for the Jedi to return to Coruscant. It was not until 2000 BBY that open conflict again ripped the galaxy apart, when the new Sith Wars began and threw the galaxy into a conflict that lasted 1,000 years. During this blood-soaked millennia, the Galactic Republic and the Jedi Order were relentlessly attacked by the new Sith Empire and its allied separatist factions. The Sith took the Outer Rim territories and closed in on the core worlds. Thousands of long-standing corporations went bankrupt, lawlessness spread, and the Republic's government became increasingly ineffectual to the point where the Senate ceded almost all its authority to the Supreme Chancellor. As the Republic lost its grip, or simply abandoned entire sectors of space, Jedi banded together to defend individual worlds and even entire sectors from the Sith, slavers, and warlords. In some cases, the Jedi's propped up existing local governments, but in others where no viable alternatives existed, they ruled themselves. Those regions most troubled were divided into Jedi baronies in an attempt to exert some degree of control and coordination. During this time, the Republic could not even maintain the holonet, except between the core worlds. Unfortunately, disease had no such communication problems, and the galaxy was struck with the Kandorian plague, which wiped out up to 60% of some worlds' populations. For the last century of the New Sith Wars, between 1100 and 1000 BBY, most consider the Republic had ceased to exist as anything more than a name. Despite the horrors sweeping the galaxy, the idea of the Republic still burned bright. The Jedi baronies established their own council, as communications with Coruscant were almost non-existent. The new Jedi Grand Council, independent of the Jedi High Council, assumed control of their sectors and the forces based within them. On Coruscant, the Jedi High Council raised a Jedi Knight named Skria Khan to the rank of Master, hoping his new rank and prestige would temper his views that the Jedi Order and the Galactic Republic were responsible for the chaos that plagued the galaxy. However, they failed and Khan's views spread, climaxing in his departure from the Order with many other Knights and formed the Brotherhood of Darkness. By this time, the new Sith Empire was tearing itself apart in the Second Sith Civil War. With the Republic broken and weak, the Sith Empire had turned its attention inward and fragmented into a dozen states, each led by a self-proclaimed Dark Lord, and locked in a series of constant battle in an endless quest for supremacy. Into this, Khan set about recruiting the splinter states and ruthlessly destroyed those who would not bow down. During his rise to power, Khan had struck down many of the most powerful Dark Lords, for which the Jedi High Council was duly grateful and utterly oblivious of the threat Khan now posed to the Republic. Jedi Lord Hoth, the Jedi Temple's battlemaster, saw Khan for what he was, and disgusted with the High Council's incompetence regarding Khan, left Coruscant to rally others to his own call to arms. The Lords of Corellia, Kolaren, and Camperas quickly joined. The Jedi Grand Council declared all their lords had pledged their baronies to Hoth. The Army of Light was born. In addition, they were joined by the Republic soldiers, also dissatisfied with their government's inability to fend off the Sith. The Army of Light began a conflict that would last a further decade, where they sought to liberate every Sith-held world and exterminate every Sith they found. After many battles, where the advantage constantly switched back and forth, the final conflicts would be on the world of Rusan. 6 great battles ensued, but it was not until the 7th that the penultimate and most desperate blow was struck. While internal dissent amongst the Sith had continued, one of its foremost dissenters, Darth Bane, made a peace offering to Khan, an ancient Sith ritual called the Thought Bomb. A mass meditation so powerful it would destroy any Force-sensitive being within its blast radius. In a last desperate action, Khan decided to use it, certain that he and the other Sith Masters were strong enough to survive. He was wrong. When Lord Hoth and his Jedi forces tracked the Sith leadership to a series of caves, Khan unleashed his weapon. Hoth and his army were wiped out, as were the Sith, who were now presumed extinct. However, one remained. Darth Bane, as the sole survivor, decided that henceforth, the new Sith Order he would create would only ever number two, one to aspire to power and the other to personify it. It was following this conflict that the then Supreme Chancellor, Tarsus Valoran, outlined his plan for a series of reforms to the Republic, which had proven so inadequate in protecting its people for the last 2,000 years. These reforms included handing back much of the Supreme Chancellor's powers to the Senate and suggestions to the Jedi Order itself, which had also proven to be somewhat wanting. With both the High and Grand Council's agreement, the Rusan Reformations passed, and the Galactic Senate, the Army of Light and the Grand Council were disbanded, and their forces slashed. Many of the Jedi Lords retained their baronies for several decades, but most of these territories were eventually absorbed back into the Republic. With the downscaling of the Republic's armies and navies came a dangerous complacency and an increasing reliance on the Jedi Order as guardians of justice. While the period following the Rusan Reformations in 1000 BBY are often referred to as the Golden Age of the Old Republic, this is a rose-tinted remembrance. Ultimately, the dismantling of the Jedi Army and the Supreme Chancellor surrendering so much power back to the Senate, the foundations were laid for an increasingly corrupt and moribund government. By 50 BBY, galactic government had effectively ceased to function, once again, as the Senate was unable to fulfill even its oldest function, that of a mediator. Indeed, this is what led to the Supreme Chancellor of the time, Finis Valorum, a descendant of Tarsus Valorum, to bypass a Senate so incapable of acting and ask the Jedi Order to intercede directly. Apparently in little better condition than the Senate, the Order continued its tradition of promoting poorly disciplined scofflaws and sent one Jedi Master and his Padawan learner to resolve a trade dispute between the Trade Federation and the planet of Naboo. During this mission, the Jedi were attacked by an assailant skilled in the ways of the Force, but not trained in the Jedi manner. Much to its own horror, the Order concluded that the attacker must be a member of the long-vanished Sith Order. While the Jedi successfully killed the Sith, they suspected that they had only killed the apprentice, and that the Master was still at large. Now, as the records of this time period appear to be rather dubious and in places quite unbelievable, I shall summarise the next events. It suffices to say that the Sith Master successfully utilised a tried-and-true method that had served his antecedents extremely well, specifically the encouragement of dissent. A new crop of separatists were cultivated and ready to break away from the moribund Republic for many valid reasons. By creating small conflicts and breeding fear, the Sith Master built the threat to such a point that the Republic and Jedi accepted, almost without question, the sudden appearance of a ready-made army of clones with which to fight the separatist threat. The separatists themselves never realized they were little more than justifications for the rebuilding of the Republic's army and the return of power from the Senate back to the Supreme Chancellor, effectively reversing the Rusan Reformations. The Jedi were not completely oblivious to the danger, though. Tensions between the Supreme Chancellor and the Order grew as Palpatine's grab for power became increasingly obvious and barefaced. Finally, the Jedi Order was tipped off to the presence of a Sith Master, whom the Jedi Council had completely failed to detect, despite their having regular face-to-face meetings with him. Four Jedi Masters were sent to arrest Palpatine, all of whom died in the attempt. After this attempted coup d'etat, the Supreme Chancellor declared the Jedi enemies of the state, and so began the Great Jedi Purge of 19 BBY. Through secret conditioning applied to the Republic's cloned armed forces, the vast majority of the Jedi Order were wiped out by the very troops they were leading. The Jedi Temple on Coruscant was sacked and burnt, and all within slain. The Sith had finally wiped the Jedi Order out, if not every single Jedi. A badly injured Palpatine went before the Senate and, through a mixture of charm, skill, and dark side powers of compulsion, the majority of the Senate enthusiastically greeted Palpatine's declaration that the Republic was now the first galactic empire, and he its emperor. It is perhaps ironic that a Republic born from a series of real and terrible wars was finally destroyed by an arguably fake one. Although it is my completely correct assessment that this was entirely necessary and not before time, since the Republican Jedi Order had become little more than two bloated, tangled carcasses bobbing down the river of history. Think of it as mercy killing. And speaking of killing, I think I shall go and get a refund from the gentleman that sold me the time machine. Back to you, Master David. Oh, and happy Life Day to you all.
Thank you, ODS1, and my apologies for keeping you waiting. You had every right to hack Simon's computer. That's just cause. Now, Shroud of the Avatar, Christy, now that, you know, I've managed to pick up the other 14 things on the running sheet I haven't talked about. Talk to us about Shroud of the Avatar.
Shroud of the Avatar, it's a Kickstart-funded game coming out. So that's one of my predictions for 2014. We're going to start seeing these Kickstarter games that we all gave money to earlier this year and I think late last year coming out. So fingers crossed. Shroud of the Avatar, it's made by Lord British. For those of you looking stunned, would know him from Ultima. For those who don't know him, honestly, get with the history. And also, I'd like to make a note that the lead writer is Hickman. So for those of you who read Dragonlance or Deathgate Cycle or Tale of the Twins, you would know him. But it's looking pretty good. They just did their pre-alpha, and I'm not sure if I'm under an NDA or not. I didn't sign anything, but they never actually got back to me to say where or not I could talk about it. But it is looking really, really good. I'm really hoping we see some really good stuff here. And speaking about throwing money at them, I did throw a little bit of money at this game. Quite a lot of little money. Let's just say what you spent on Marvel would be like a drop of what I gave to them.
Oh, my God. What?
I had too much money. It looked good. It's Lord British. How could I not give money to them?
Good for you.
I'm not bragging about this game because of that. I promise.
So we have an update to the Kickstarter campaign for Christy to move in with someone in the US. She's disclosed about her boobs and has too much money. So if you'd like to take that into account with any offers, please email us.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Right, so Shroud of the Avatar, it's not an MMO per se. He's tried to describe what it is going to be, but I think it's either kind of like Diablo 3 where you play multiplayer but people can join sort of your world, or if it's more Guild Wars 2 where there's like instance areas and there's like hubs, because player housing is one of the big things that they've gone on with this game, and it was one of the big things with when backers, which is kind of like why I put too much money into this, was because I really, really, really wanted that house. And part of the pre-alpha, they actually showed quite a few of the different types of houses, and I am not disappointed. So yeah, fingers crossed, and hopefully we'll be hearing about this one more, maybe when it gets closer to the alpha stage. But go Lord British.
Is the Kickstarter still running or is it closed off?
Oh, they closed after Christy poured in $500,000. That was right.
But you can actually, they are still taking funds via the Shroud of the Avatar website. So if you do want to throw a little bit of money their way and, like, you know, get in on the game, why now? You still can. But yeah, it's through them now, not through Kickstarter. It looks like they've almost raised like quite a lot of money after Kickstarter. So I kind of wish Kickstarters went longer than a month, actually.
Yeah.
I want to give you more money. Let me give you your money. Not you, Shroud of the Avatar. I'm talking about other places here.
Well, they sort of do, because it's not uncommon. Well, I think it's fairly standard for the donation option to exist on the website after the Kickstarter, assuming the Kickstarter has been successful.
Yeah, absolutely. I just got some technical pens, so I'm looking forward to getting those.
Cool.
I could stop going to Kickstarter. I got to stop. People, stop linking me to Kickstarters. It's bad. It's really bad.
It's evil. I agree. Depression Quest on Steam Greenlight.
Yes, now you're going to have to, you know, hold me back if I get a little bit too much here. So Depression Quest is one of those games that's not really a game. It's created to show people what it's like to live with depression. So whether you're somebody who thinks you might suffer from depression, whether you're someone who just wants to know more about depression, or maybe you're someone who has friends or family that suffer from depression, that's kind of what this game is leading for. I haven't actually played it because I myself suffer from depression, and when I've heard people talk about it who have had depression, they've said it's very triggering. So I'm thinking it's probably very good then, if it's that realistic, that it can, you know, stir things inside us all. But what happened is it's been developed, and it is a release now. You can play it, and it's free to play as well. They do ask for donations, but you don't have to. It's part about raising awareness about depression. And they tried to put it onto Greenlight before, but there was massive backlash, so she pulled it off. And now she's put it back up again, and once again there's major, major backlash at her. And what the hell, you know? Yeah. It's just because it's made by a girl, and this website, which isn't 4chan, it's something else, but essentially it's ran by, and I'm going to sound really, really mean saying this, but it's a bunch of white, angry young men, yeah, virgins, who think that anyone with friends or a female or anyone like that just can't suffer from depression. Like, you know, if you've ever had sex, what are you talking about? You can't suffer from depression. Oh, so dear. They've pretty much, I mean, not all of them, but but yeah, instead of sort of like yelling at the guy saying this, they're yelling at everyone else for, you know, it's like, oh dear me. But so they've just pretty much launched this massive attack at her. They've called for doxing, and she's I'm not sure if the first time or the second time, but she's had to change her phone number because just all this stuff. So it's pretty, pretty ridiculous, and it's really awful, since depression's not a laughing matter. And no, depression, you know, depression's not about feeling a bit down, feeling a little depression. A depression's actually a mental illness that people who suffer from it can't control. You can't just say, cheer up, no, you're a chick with right. great friends, you're beautiful, you know. I mean, I don't think she's actually suffered from depression, but she's obviously someone who has experienced with it, and that's the whole reason why she's made this game. And it's really sad because, yeah, if I can point my friends at anything like this and say, look, play this and then you understand, because I really hate it when I have my own depression episodes and they start going, oh, cheer up, life's great. I'm like, that doesn't work. No. It just makes you feel worse. But thank you guys for trying.
Yeah.
I just really can't understand why anyone would do this. And if you want to have a go at the game, you can. It is out there. Feel free to throw a vote its way on Greenlight, to even just to support someone trying to do good work, someone trying to make games more than just, you know, teabagging, shooting other people up. Because if we want games to be realised, we've got to embrace this sort of stuff. And there are games out there, like there's Cat Lady, which is about suicide. That was another game that I only got about halfway through because it was getting a bit too much for me. But, these games exist. And if you do suffer from depression, please, please, please don't get involved with these sort of groups. If you suffer from depression, go speak to your doctor. He or she can do wonderful things. You don't have to go on the drugs. I tried for many, many years to not go on the drugs. I ended up going on the drugs, but I got off them as quickly as possible. But you can, wonderful Medicare will pay for you to go speak to a professional. And the one I got referred to, she was amazing, and she helped me out greatly, and she's the reason why I'm a functioning person today and not on drugs. So if you do, I mean, get support from your friends and families, absolutely, but just don't turn to random people on the internet, because they have agendas, and it's not nice, and you don't want to end up angry and bitter and stuff, because these people will echo chamber and they will tell you exactly what you want to hear. And we've already experienced things like with the manosphere, where you've got these men who just despise and hate women, and the things they say, it's like, wow, have you actually ever spoken to a woman? You know?
Yeah, sometimes I'm reading the news story, and yeah, so it's Wizard Chen, which they sound like a sad bunch of bastards. And yeah, so just on, and I'm going to make one disclaimer as the, I suppose, the owner of the podcast and also just happening to be a nurse that's worked in the mental health field. Agree with your points, Christy, on medication, but the short answer is for anyone is that you talk to your GP about what the best treatment for some people, medication and counselling, counselling on its own or medication on its own, they can all work, and you just got to find the right combination that works for you. But you're right, don't listen to idiots on the internet, including me, given this is on the internet. So, but anyway, trust me, I'm a nurse.
Sorry, I hope I didn't get ranty there.
No, that was good. Maybe.
I feel the need to share the entire concept of Tiny Death Star with you all now.
Go for it.
Go on the App Store, the Apple App Store, or whatever the hell that's called now, or Androids, and go and have a look at Tiny Death Star. If you played Tiny Tower, hell, if you've watched Good Game, you will be familiar with Tiny Power. The little animation series. So that's based on the tiny little people in Tiny Tower, where you build a little tower, and it's a resource management game, and you just keep building new floors, and you've got to keep them happy and keep them employed, blah blah blah. But there's a Star Wars spin on that now, as you'd expect, called Tiny Death Star.
Oh, these are guys that make pocket planes.
Pocket Planes. Yeah, Pocket Planes is another one of theirs.
So, yeah, because I played that religiously there for a few months.
Yeah, oh, that can get quite addictive.
Yeah.
But Tiny Death Star is just special.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll be checking that out. Brilliant recommendation.
I've been addicted to this, The Simpsons, called Tapped Out. So it's on the
iPhone. I was going to say, that was what Simon was. Are you still addicted to that?
I've sort of weaned myself off it somewhat, but then now the Christmas event. Oh, hell, we've just finished Thanksgiving and Halloween events, and now it's a Christmas event, and then we've got Life Day, and it's all a bit much.
I know, it's
all a bit much.
See, I'm addicted to Civilization again at the moment.
Have you got Civ 5?
Yeah. I played it earlier in the year, and I've just returned to it and loving it again. I haven't bought any of the expansions yet, but I think I will be. So just, I don't know. It's something you can just dip in and out of, and that's what I'd need in a game.
Yeah, well, I've got that for the flight over to Ireland. I've decided that seems like a good game to have on the plane.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, it makes time fly. As well, you fly. No, that wasn't even intentional, but yeah, it does. Time flies with it. Yeah, it's one of those games for sure. All right, we're going to wrap it there now that I finally got the running list right. So thank you. So we'll, Simon and Chrissy, we haven't actually discussed this, but I'm assuming no one has any objections to a month hiatus for the podcast.
I think that's entirely reasonable.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk prior. I mean, if something big happens, we'll be back before then, but assume that we'll be back mid-January.
Yep.
Obviously it's been a big year. We'll talk more about the year that's been in the first one of next year. This year wouldn't have happened without these two wonderful people, Christy and Simon. So thank you to you both.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, we'll be back in a month. In the meantime, please drop us a line at contact@oceanicgamer.com, our Facebook page at /TheOceanicGamer, same for Twitter. Simon's Twitter handle is RPGBeatsRL, and Christy's Twitter handle... Because it changes so it's goddamn not, often.
No, it's staying this time, I promise. I'm settled.
Remind me.
Flaming Cat.
That's right, Evil Flaming. Because I was going to say Evil Krispy Kreme. Yeah, and I've got it all set up on the post. I just didn't have it off the top of my head. Sorry.
Sure.
Yeah. So have a wonderful Christmas or otherwise. I'm more on the bar humbug side of the equation as well, to be honest.
That's why you celebrate Life Day.
Yes.
Life Day and the GRI event starts on December 17th. Remember that, folks.
Don't spend
time with your family.
I'll put that on my list of things I'll never do.
Okay. GRI event.
You're not seriously... Oh, it's too late. You're not seriously excited about that, are you?
Hell no.
No, I didn't think so. So have a great week, everyone. And if your pug wipes, it's probably one of us was in it. Bye.
Bye. Merry Christmas.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.